Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers.
Oh, it's a slightly sort of exaggerating the nasal quality of your voice today. Yeah, poor Jen's not very well.
I thought I'd just make it seem a bit better when I spoke in my normal voice.
Oh, yes. Well, you sound all right, but our listeners will be very sympathetic.
It is the season.
It is. They're probably, you're struggling with your own sniffles at home, I bet, aren't you, sweethearts? But wrap yourselves up in a little blanket and stick with us because we've got a lovely episode for you today because we are speaking to a champion. Not any champion, the Times Crossword Champion 2023. It's Matthew Marcus. So we're going to be talking to Matthew about his victory and also he's been on Jeopardy. He's a four-time Jeopardy winner, which I'm very excited about talking to him on that subject. Shall we talk a little bit before we start about Christmas quizzing and how to do your Christmas quizzes? Because obviously our Fingers on Buzzers book, currently available, is all about creating your own Christmas quiz. And you have got a little quiz for me, I believe.
Yes, and this is one of those examples of making up a quiz off something you've seen at random. And this took up several hours with my family last weekend. It was a lot of fun. And all we've done is taken a page from a pop record book that's popped up at random on a social media page. And it just was very interesting. We made up a pop quiz. The best-selling UK artists from 1970 to 1975. So this is done on single sales and success. So a number one record is worth 30 points, number two is worth 29 points, all the way down to a number 30 record, 1 point.
Gosh.
So obviously the better you've done and the more records you've had in the charts, the bigger your score.
Great.
These are the top 33
so
artists.
You could have had like one massive selling number one, but you only get the points for that number one. So
exactly.
it's consistency of career as well, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I can tell you that the lowest number of different records in this list. There are a couple who had 4 hits, but obviously mega, mega hits and a lot of sort of weeks in the chart and a big success. Yep. But the top ones were sort of, you know, in the high, mid to high teens.
Cool, blimey. Yeah. Between 70 and 75. So this is when I'm making my entrance into the world, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. So I probably would only have vague memories. 1973, I was born. Now, I think there's going to be, you know, we're sort of era of disco. There's going to be some sort of dancey type act in there.
It's a little bit early for disco. I'll give you that clue.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah,
just a little bit. The roots of disco are there. So soul is very much a part of the list.
Yeah, okay. And then maybe you're sort of, is it glam? Is glam around this at this
is
point?
This is glam times. Glamour go go.
Glamour go go. So I'm going to go for, right, I'm going to just name some glam.
Please do.
Acts. I'm going to get Slade out there.
Slade are number one.
Yes.
On the list. In fact, this came from a Slade fan group. And it was brilliant. Basically, of course they're number one. So they had
lovely
16 records. And according to the scoring system, they had 2,402 points. So they are massive winners on this chart, 70 to 75.
Good for them.
Yes.
So other glam, Mud.
Mud are number 8.
Yeah, very good. Good for Mud. Tiger Feet, yeah, I'm out after that.
That's an absolute banger.
No, I probably do. I do know more, don't I? What was their Christmas single?
Lonely This Christmas.
Lonely This Christmas, there you go.
Cat Crept In.
Yes.
They liked animals, didn't they?
Keen, the Attenboroughs, the Richard, David Attenboroughs. I can't even get my Attenboroughs straight.
The Richard
Attenboroughs.
Attenboroughs. The pop world.
Gandhi, that was one of theirs. Okay, so we've got the Sweet.
Sweet.
Or Sweet, it's just Sweet, is it?
I believe it is just Sweet, although they are sometimes credited as the Sweet. Mm-hmm. They're number 5 on the chart. You're doing very well.
Okay, right. More glam? Shall I get more glam out?
There's some more glam in there for sure.
I mean, T-Rex.
T-Rex are number 3.
Okay.
15 hits during that time period.
Now, are we in the era of Shawaddy Waddy yet?
We are not.
No, Shawaddy Waddy.
No, that Shawaddy Waddy are not involved at this time.
Can I just say Shawaddy Waddy one more time?
Shawaddy Waddy. I think they, was it Opportunity Knocks or one of those that they won?
So later 70s.
In like the 73 or something like that. So they didn't really have time to have the breadth of hits that a lot of these did. There are some huge names on this list. Huge names.
Now my mind's going blank completely. I've peaked at Slade. I got number one, so
straight in at number one as well. Yeah.
What other glam bands were there? Give me some clues.
Well, there's one which doesn't get much airplay anymore.
Oh yes, okay, yes, the glitter band or
yeah.
Regrettable.
Number 4, in fact, on this chart. There are an originator of glam rock rather than a copycat.
Bowie.
Yes, definitely original. Number 6 on the chart.
Mm-hmm.
What else have we got? There's soul and there is pop and rock very much in.
Soul-wise, this is interesting. Because are we talking sort of Motown legacy kind of your, I don't know, then who would it be? Like your, Smokey Robinson?
No, Smokey.
Temptations or...
There are a couple of vocal groups in
Earth,
that
Wind
style.
Earth, Wind & Fire?
No, it's a bit early for them.
Commodores?
No, again it's just early. A touch too early.
Okay, I need to cast my mind back to... I mean, I'd love it if it was Gladys Knight and the Pips, but I'm guessing it's not.
No, but that is a very good answer.
Mm.
That's sort of the thing.
British soul or American? It is American.
These are American.
Clues.
Well, there's one act has technically 2 separate entries. So combined, possibly, are a winner.
Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5?
The Jackson 5 is there, but quite low down the list.
Okay.
Before
this Diana Ross and Diana Ross and the Supremes?
Yes. So Diana Ross has 12 hits and the Supremes 8.
Yeah.
So I reckon if you were just looking at Diana and including the Supremes... She kicked
everyone's
bum. I
wonder if some of those
bum.
Are post, you know, I like that era of the Supremes after Diana left. Floyd Joy, Up the Ladder to the Roof. There was some very good. Automatically Sunshine If you don't know that one, listeners, give yourselves a treat. That's the post-Diana Ross Supremes era.
Lovely.
Very good. Anyway, this is not helping. I'm flanneling and trying to play for time because I can't think of any others.
There's some heartthrobs as well. Some proper heartthrobs. Like, you'd have a post
Cassidy,
on the wall.
David Cassidy,
yeah, he's number 18.
The Osmonds, Donny Osmond,
and the Osmonds are separate entries.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, very good.
Jimmy Osmond, did he? And he only had really long hair. Love him
no,
from Liverpool, didn't
no.
he?
No. You've done very well with the top 10, but you've not named number 2 yet, who he wasn't around for much longer after 1975.
Oh. But Elvis.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh. 19 records during that time.
Yeah.
Then number 9, it's the highest entry on the chart for a band which includes a woman. Not many women on this chart.
No. Is the woman a vocalist?
She's a vocalist.
Is she the lead vocalist?
She's the lead vocalist.
Is she named in the name of the
no,
band?
No, she's not.
What genre are we looking at?
Very much pop.
Oh, okay. So, 70s, early 70s pop. There's a woman.
I believe Antipodean.
So she's
Antipodean.
Oh, is it Judith Durham from The Seekers? Searchers, The New Seekers.
The New Seekers, yes.
I always get my Seekers and my Searchers mixed
yes,
up. You can
me
see
too.
Why. But yeah. Oh, I love Judith Durham.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
And number 10 is an Irish singer-songwriter.
Lundy Donegan.
This is very much his era of massive success. I'm not sure there was a lot out width.
Oh my
god. 70 to 75.
Is it? Oh.
He was born in Waterford.
Donovan.
No, and moved to London as a young man, and then grew up in Swindon, I think.
Lucky him.
Yep. Kind of the...
People are screaming this at their devices.
Folky singer-songwriter.
Yeah, this is why I'm all around. I know.
You are all around it. You can see him. You can even
really
see him
can.
In your mind's eye.
Give me the first initial.
You'll get it. G.
And I didn't.
You didn't. That surprised me. That did surprise me.
Is it two words?
Yes.
Glavagiggy. Glenn Graham. Graham Irish.
It's not Graham. So he shares his first name with the surname of a Victorian Edwardian playwright who wrote combination with a composer.
Gilbert
O'Sullivan.
Oh, I am so sorry to our listeners for the amount of time it took me to take that. You've probably all gone off and made a cup of tea now. You've got, well, a Lemsip, because you're probably all sniffling
like
Jenny.
Yes, I mean, that's probably for the best.
You're enjoying your max strength cold
you know what?
Flu.
We can come back to this later.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to let you percolate.
Yes, let's have
And if some more answers come up, we'll come back to it.
We'll have our chat to Matthew and then we'll come back and I'll swoop up the rest. That'll be fine. So let's have a chat to Matthew about crosswords and that. It's an honour to speak to you because I am a cryptic crossword fan, but I'm in awe. I'm in absolute awe of you. So talk us through your route to becoming the crossword champion.
All right. Well, it was a very long and arduous route that I took. I've been doing crosswords since I was about 8. I think I used to go to visit my grandfather at the weekends when I was quite young, and he would totally show off by doing the Times crossword in front of me. And I'd say, I don't know what on earth any of this means. And he'd say, oh, yes, well, yes, this is the explanation. And I eventually started to sink in. And by the time I was about 14, I was showing off to my grandfather and uncle. They were like, what the heck is a yatagan? I'm like, well, of course, that is a Turkish scimitar, because I've read a lot of Conan the Barbarian books or whatever. I was able to start impressing them. And wow. Yeah, it's the kind of thing that I just kept up in general. I never thought of it as something that was... I did go to one Times crossword championship in the 90s when I was about 17, thinking, I'm going to be hot stuff. And obviously, I turned up and I didn't do too badly. I was sort of somewhere in the bottom half, but, you know, somewhere in the 50 to 70th percentile. I got a lot wrong and I was in awe of all the people there. And I kind of did the crosswords at university sort of occasionally. Yeah, at some point on Facebook about 10 years ago, maybe a bit more. Gosh, time does fly these days. A chap called Dave Tilley, who is a figure in the both the crosswording and the quizzing scenes, spotted me on a group and said, "Oh, you're quite good. You should come to some crossword meetups." He basically got me into crossword and quiz, and then I ended up, you know, meeting other crossworders, realizing there was a competitive scene, realizing I was actually quite good. So the first Times Crossword of this century I went to, the first Times Crossword Championship, was about 10 years ago, and I did quite well, but I wasn't sort of troubling the top 10 for a little while. For the past five or so Cryptic Crossword Championships, I've been considered to be quite good, and people were not surprised to see me in the top 10, but I don't know if anybody expected me to win. There's a guy called Mark Goodliffe. He is the greatest crossword solver of our times. The trophy that I now have has five names on it, about 20 lines on it, five names, and, you know, all but four of those lines are him. He's won it like a dozen times. So the smart money is always on Mark Goodliffe to win, but occasionally he can make mistakes.
Exactly. And that was because we have heard on this podcast a little teaser about the drama of this year's final. So obviously we would love to hear it from you, because I mean, it really was right till the last minute. It was all to play for, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've mastered the art of not making it look easy, I think. Mark Goodliffe, as you say, does make mistakes. He didn't make mistakes for a very long time. And then in the last three times he's competed, he's slightly off the boil now. He's made two mistakes in the last three competitions. And that is enough in these competitions to kind of knock you out so you don't even get to the final. To get to the final, I needed him to make a mistake. And then in the final, I wasn't the fastest to solve it. I needed as another guy who looks like he's going to be good. He finished in 15 minutes. I was sitting there making it look hard. I was tearing my hair out. I was definitely putting on a show for the audience unwittingly. So he held up his paper. It took me five more minutes to wrestle with this final clue that for some reason I was panicking over, and eventually I held it up. But then, so I had been 5 minutes slower than the other guy, and thinking, well, if he's made no mistakes, then I am completely toast. I didn't do very well at all. So there was the longest 10 minutes in sort of crossroading history where I was sitting there going, oh God, I'm going to come second. Sitting there. And then 10 minutes later, they said time, and the other guy handed in his paper, and Stebble turned to the other person who was in the final and said, I definitely made one mistake. I was like, yes, there's a chance. There is a chance. And lo and behold, he'd spelled Ulaanbaatar wrong.
Ulaanbaatar.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Oh,
it's a tricky one because there are multiple different spellings of it. I think modern quizzing practice dictates we should spell it with lots of A's, like Ulaanbaatar. But yeah, it used to be Ulaanbaatar with an O, and he put Ulaanbaatar, or he got it quite understandably wrong. That was enough to clinch me the win. So better lucky than good.
Well, do you know what? And I mean, you have been, it's not like you haven't earned it. It's not like you just showed up this year and went, I think I'll have this. You know, you put the hard yards in. So I don't think anyone could begrudge it.
Second the time before last and fifth last time. So yeah, I'm a regular botherer of the top spot, but yeah. I need a little bit of luck still to get there. Age might be on my side. Some of the people who I consider to be much better than me are about 5-10 years older than me. So who knows? There might be a small window in which.
I'm fascinated by it as a sport. Is there a retirement age? Because I would think it would be a young man's game, but it does not. So, like, you know, you went along when you were 17, you said, and didn't do that brilliantly. But what makes a great crossworder? Is it experience, knowledge, quick thinking, memory?
Definitely a combination. It's very interesting that you talk about young man's game, because I've been to the American Crossword Championships as well. And I would say that definitely is a young man's game. They solve these things so fast, and it's less cryptic. So it's a different kind of game. You know, there's one puzzle out of the seven that they do there that is quite cryptic, and that one I'm significantly higher up in the ranking tables. But the other ones, it's like, it's a simple New York Times crossword, which basically is a concise crossword as we know it. There's some slightly wacky definitions, but it's really just straightforward. You see a clue, enter the answer, and the young people are doing that in like 100 seconds, and it takes me about 3 minutes to do these 50 or 60 clues. It's not quite so easy. So, yeah, they have age categories in the American tournament, which they don't have in Britain at all. I mean, it wouldn't be much point because everyone's about the same age. Everyone's in their 40s and 50s with about 10 exceptions probably this time around.
And are there any? That's the big
There question. Are a few, and there are more in the American game. So it's an interesting topic of inquiry, I think, to look at why there aren't enough women in British game. There is a lovely woman called Helen Noom, who is the only female winner of the Times Crossword Championship. She didn't come this year because her husband passed away recently, and she was like, I don't want to come without Sid. Yeah, I used to go on crossword Zoom calls with Sid every week, and yeah, he is much missed. But yeah, Helen is up there.
Yep.
With any of the other solvers. She is a brilliant, brilliant crossword solver. And women certainly can achieve the top of this game.
I'm sort of interested, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to show my hand here, that I currently, I love cryptic crosswords. I love them. And I do, so I do the Times and I do the Telegraph and the Telegraph Toughy. Yep. I mean, my Times are really woeful, but what do you think I could do? What's the secret to speeding up, I suppose? Is there a secret? Is there any techniques? Is it just practice?
I mean, just doing them forever and ever is probably the number one thing to do, sadly. There's no quick magic pill that will make you good at crosswords overnight.
You should write a book saying, I can help you.
Yeah. I remember once, actually, I went to a meetup, probably a Magpie meetup, because Mark Goodliffe was there. He runs a cryptic magazine called The Magpie, which is brilliant. Everyone should subscribe to that if they want really, really hard puzzles. Anyway, I went there and I asked Mark the same thing. I was like, you're so good at crosswords. I'm never going to be as good as you. I remember saying in his presence, I kind of just solve them in order. I go across, 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 across. And he's like, what? That's insane. No, you can't do that. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Once you have some of the letters, the clue becomes a lot easier.
God, so you would just get, do you do it grid, do you do list, do you, well, like if you're doing, do you ever do it electronically or do you always print out?
I do it mostly electronically now, yeah, which is possibly not the best plan for the competition, because that's all on paper, and there are definitely people who say, oh, well, for a month before the championship I get offline and do it all on paper, so that my penmanship skills are back up to snuff.
So you look at a clue, you get one, and then build out from there. Is that the way that it would
work? Yeah, you kind of have to use the letters. I mean, it becomes so much easier. Here's something that's really interesting. So the two times that Mark Goodliffe has misstepped in the last three competitions, he's talked about it afterwards to everyone. And basically, I can see that he's got this whole calculation going on his head. He's like, well, that's good enough. That fits the definition part and it crosses with two of the letters. That's definitely going to be right. I will move on. And it hasn't been right. He put in rivalry instead of revelry. And there was something in the clue that looked like it could mean rivalry. And he saw the V, he saw the R, he thought, well, that's good enough. So yeah, there's definitely a possibility of going, okay, well, that is now good enough. And there are some clues I certainly now put in, even though I haven't even read the clue. I write, okay, well, that's definitely Duchess of Malfi or something. Can't be anything else.
Yeah, whatever.
I used to blog on the Times Crossword blog, which is still a very good resource for solvers. And people would often say to me, I'd say, oh, I just solved this one in 3 minutes or whatever. And they say, well, I don't approve of this at all. The way I do crosswords, I like to stop and smell the roses. I'm like, yes, that is completely valid. But if you want to be a speed solver, if you want to go and win the Times Crossword Championships, the blog for the Times Crossword is a bit different from all the others. So you can get blogs for the Telegraph and the Guardian and so on 15 Squared. But only one of them is called Times for the Times. And it's all about times. And everyone is encouraged to put down how fast they solved it. And that's because only the Times has a championship where speed is considered to be, an important feature of solving a crossword. It isn't really. I mean, it's much more important to appreciate the artistry and to linger lovingly over the moments, but you can't afford to do that, I guess, if you want to solve as fast as Mark Goodliffe.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do sometimes sit back and just applaud some of that incredible moment where you realise it and you go, oh, that was beautifully achieved.
Yeah, so clever.
Do you have, I know this is putting you on the spot and in no way feel that you have to, but are there any clues that you've been sort of wowed by that you can remember, or anything that you've got wrong that you wish you hadn't, or any?
Well, the clue that I got wrong that I wish I hadn't was when I did what Mark Goodliffe has done in recent years and held up my paper just way too fast. It was in the first round, so there was absolutely no reason for me to rush it. I was just wanting to show off and be one of the first like two or three to get my paper up. And I put in, it was a man's name at the beginning, and it was an item of furniture, and I put in Devonport, thinking that Devon could be a man's name. And then the minute I held up the paper and they grabbed it, I was like, oh my God, it's a Devonport, isn't it?
Dave
was the man's name. I was like, Devon, good enough. That's a man's name, kind of. Bit weird, but okay.
I know someone called Devon. I've got one of my friend's kids is called Devon. So, you're right, but you're very, very wrong at the same time. That I always think the classic anagrams, like, you know, cart, horse, orchestra, and that is something you can learn. I think, you know, when you see something and you go, yeah, I've seen.
You can learn. Great clues. But, you know, like Araceria, considered to be the greatest crossword setter maybe of the late 20th century, is much beloved in the community. He wrote an anagram of the old vicarage, Grantchester, which is something like chaste lord archer vegetating wildly or something. It was very, very good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the best one I have encountered in a championship puzzle, and this got a lot of plaudits from people. It was the one that gave us a bit of pause, and we were like, it has to be that. It was like number of letters in the post office by five, or in post office by five, and the answer was 50, because there's 10 letters in post office, and you just do what you see. And multiply the number of letters in post office by five.
The telegraph one is a bit anagram heavy, I always find, more so. Like, you know, the Times, I kind of think, has a bit more variety. And then the Guardian I used to do, and then I just found their online interface wasn't good enough.
The Times has an actual rule. I believe you cannot have more than four anagrams in a puzzle. Mm. So if the Times feels quite consistent in its quality, it's because they do have a lot of rules.
Yeah.
And the Times also has an interesting rule that you won't find in the Guardian for sure, and I don't think in others, where you can't have anyone who's alive in the puzzle, apart from one exception, the reigning monarch. So it's like in trivia, you know, a lot of trivia is pop culture. You will never find anything that modern in the Times, just because of the rule that the person has to be dead.
Fascinating. Great. That
you might find Maria Callas or something, for instance, because she's been dead for a while. And it's given rise to an interesting phenomenon where sometimes we learn that people are dead because they appear in the Times. We're like, oh, Henry Kissinger is in a clue. Let me go check. Oh, yes, he's gone.
Oh, well, that's something we can all look forward to after we die. It's one of the upsides of death, as you might be at Times.
You know, finally, I'll be able to be in the Times crossword.
But you live in America now. Will you be coming back next year, of course, to defend your crown?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it was quite good to win the top prize, because that definitely paid for my flight and my expenses. I feel like coming every year and not winning might be slightly less slightly less financially responsible. But for the moment, yeah.
Do you quiz as well? I mean, you...
I do. Yeah, I was on Jeopardy. I was on Jeopardy earlier this year. I'll probably be on Jeopardy again next year in the Tournament of Champions. I play in the online quiz league in a cusp Division 1, Division 2 team. We're always bouncing up and down. So I'm not that good at quiz, but I'm all right.
Well, you're the champion of crosswords, so it's fine. And I'd imagine being on Jeopardy is quite... Do you get a lot of recognition in the street in America for being a Jeopardy contestant?
No. I've actually, as you can see, actually on Jeopardy, I had a big beard and long hair, and people were like, oh my God, who is this dirty English hippie? And at the moment, I've shaved. I'm going to go back on to the Tournament of Champions, hopefully in February, and present an entirely different look. Because people on the internet, it turns out, this was my first brush with any kind of fame. It wasn't really much of a brush, because it was about a week where people were paying attention. You know, a lot of people were like, if this guy just had a shave and smartened up. There was a guy who came on like a few months after me who had a little toothbrush mustache. And so it could have been a lot worse. It was like, everyone was like, oh my God, this guy looks like Hitler. And he was very upset. The internet is a cruel place.
Oh, go on in fancy dress. Go on in sort of British, like, you know, some sort of codpiece and ruff or something.
The best thing was, there were people who were like, is this guy really British? Didn't Ken Jennings say he was born in New York? He described me as a native New Yorker, which is correct, because native means was born in. And everyone was like, Ken said he was from New York. I think his accent is fake. And my favorite comment I got on the internet was, someone came in and said, I'm an Englishman myself, and I can tell you, I can guarantee you, this guy's accent is fake. It's just way too precise. There's no one who really speaks like that in England. And I was like, and so this conspiracy theory started to spread around some very minor reaches of the internet that I was just pretending to be British to be more interesting on Jeopardy. I did have just enough time to practice my New York accent and come on next time with a broad, like, Bronx accent, and everyone would be like, oh my God. I probably won't, because I'm lazy.
Completely different and with a completely different accent. Do it. Well, we shall look out for you on Jeopardy Champion of Champions, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I may go out pretty quickly and ignominiously if I come up against people I'm scared of, like Troy Meyer. I know he's a brilliant quizzer, and he's also going to be on the Tournament Champions. And there are several other names where I feel like I might not be favoured against. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's such a good experience. And sadly, British people can't go on Jeopardy. You have to be living in America, I think. But if you ever move to America, that's one of the first things I would start to do. Try and get on Jeopardy, because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, we will be rooting for you. We'll be taking to the internet and spreading conspiracy theories. I'll be saying I spoke to him for a podcast and he's actually from the deep south. I don't know what he's talking about. So we'll do that. And then we will hopefully see. I think next year we're definitely going to try and get along to the Times Crossword competition.
Brilliant, yeah.
If it not, I mean, more. I might enter it just for a laugh.
People go to the George pub round the corner and there is much festivity all day long. So it's a great social event as well.
You're sold. Ooh. So yes, I'll see you there. I'll see you at the George next year and good luck with it all. And congratulations once again. You're my
thank
hero.
Thank you. I definitely will come in that case.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, that was a delightful chat with Matthew, wasn't it?
It really was.
And I really enjoyed talking to him, but all the way through, little part of my mind, still thinking about 70s, 70s rock stars.
Of course you were.
So we'll come back to that in a minute. Yeah. But I tell you what I was going to do. We haven't done this for a while, but I thought we'd chat about some of the new or newer quizzes that are on telly.
Yes, let's do it.
And some of the things that they maybe share their DNA with from the past. So I have been watching belatedly, I know all the rest of you will have seen this, The Finish Line. God, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roman Kemp. Amazing, proper star of the future. Like, he's going to be everywhere, isn't he? He's kind of the guy. And Sarah Green, who it delights me to see her back on television in so many ways, and she's so good.
She was one of my favourite presenters when I was young.
Yeah.
I thought she was the bee's knees.
And she's still got it, by God. Oh she's lights up the screen. And I quite like the format. I am a fan of, like the Gary Lineker, Who's in the Chair, whatever that one's called.
Sitting on a Fortune.
Sitting on a Fortune.
Who's in the chair? That's what it should be called. Makes sense.
Quizzical Chairs.
That's basically what it is.
Other titles for projects that we think should be better. But The Finish Line, it's so simple. Yeah. I mean, and is this a thing, like people just moving about the studio a bit is a thing in quizzing now?
Yeah, I think a bit more motion. Maybe it is a symptom of the lockdown where we were all stuck in one place for so long.
Yes.
Maybe we want to see a bit of movement, you know, people getting up and about.
It's you couldn't do this on Zoom, isn't it? That's what this one should be called.
Yeah,
you couldn't do this on Zoom.
Yeah, standing behind a podium, quite boring. The podium moving around. Come on!
It's like a chariot. So for those who haven't seen it, they do a little qualifying round, don't they? And that decides their position on. So you've got a load of basically chariots
yeah.
lined up, and you get put on your little chariot.
No horses, though.
No, that's sadly. The next step. That's if you want to play it at home, ooh. Then why not get a horse? Do it with
or
horse
a donkey
and carts.
Or a goat, or maybe a cat.
Maybe sit. If you've got a particularly large dog, don't sit on dogs. That's,
no.
No, that's, I'm not giving that as advice. Or a family member. Hello. Oh. Right, this is the one. This is the one. If you're playing the finish line at home, basically.
And you have a long garden. You have or a quiet street.
Yes.
Cul-de-sac.
If you're on a cul-de-sac, you get people to kneel down. Someone sits on their back. And then. So
maybe like a child and an adult. And that, yeah.
Yes, no, yes, not. Yes, yes. Or me and a normal sized person. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a first round, which is a picture round, and you have to identify things, and the speed at which you achieve that determines your position. And then you go into your first race, so which is effectively round two of the quiz is race one, and they fire questions down the line of contestants, and your chariot begins moving when you get a question right, and it keeps moving unless you get the question wrong or you pass. Mm-hmm. And at the end of round one, someone is eliminated. So I shall give you some sample questions, mm-hmm. Jen. Right, so in order
I'm gonna
to
grab
represent...
Hold.
Yeah, okay. I mean, this
for
is going to be...
For safety reasons.
For the listeners at home, Jen is going to move while she's getting questions right. Okay, so what is the only month of the year with the letter I in it?
April.
Yes, she's moving. She's off. Oh, my goodness, it's majestic. Oh. In the nursery rhyme, what adjective is used to describe Willy Winky?
Wee.
How she's still going. She's thundering down the tracks now. How is Tony Montana known in the title of an 80s film?
Scarface.
Flea is best known as the bass player in which American band?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Which of the four basic horse gaits is faster than a canter?
Gallop.
Operation Cartwheel took place in which war?
Second World War.
Who captained England's lionesses to victory in Euro 22?
Who was it?
Oh, she's galloping, but will she slow
Beth
to
Mead.
A canter?
No.
No! Oh, she's stopped.
Ah, like she clanged to a stop
clang.
As well.
It was Leah Williamson.
Yes, it was.
So that's how that goes. But I think you would probably have crossed the finish line,
yeah.
Leaving all trailing behind you in your wake there. And then you get another qualifier. Basically, the format of the show is very simple. There's like a qualifier between each race. Mm-hmm. And then the races all follow essentially the same format. And then you get, when you're down to the final two, then you go head to head. You're still on your little chariots, but you're head to head on the buzzer. So if you get an answer right, then you move and they stop. And if you get it wrong, then they move and you stop.
Oh, yep, yep.
So it's really simple. I'm just going to do you a few more little sample questions. So back on your mount, Jen.
Okay.
Over she goes. Oh, okay. That's an interesting way of mounting, but yeah, well done. Not very dignified.
Not known for my dignity.
The human body contains how many mandible bones?
One.
Yes, I was so wrong on that.
Oh.
Which English playwright coined the term lackluster?
Shakespeare.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a guess.
Usually is.
What creature is a great blue turaco?
Bird.
Yeah. In the nursery rhyme, how many men did the Duke of York have?
10,000.
EC is the international vehicle registration for which country?
Ecuador.
What type of fruit is a Jonah Gold?
An apple.
Yes.
Percentage answer.
I know. Do you know, this is the thing, actually, is... anyway, I won't hold you up because you're galloping. How many minutes are there between 10 a.m. and noon?
120.
Yes. Which age followed the Stone Age?
Iron Age.
Bronze Age.
Bronze Age.
She's stopped. She's come to a grinding halt.
Oh, no.
But that, again, you know, obviously yeah. You did well because you're you. But
I don't know how well I would have done if I was actually in motion, because even imagining I was moving forward fairly slowly on a chariot was a bit off-putting.
And then the final round, it's the player against the track. So the track kind of turns red behind you and you have to, so it's sort of quick fire round.
Catching you up.
And you have to beat the track. So, I mean, it is the simplest show to explain. It's, you know, you've got Sarah Green there dissecting the questions, helping out with facts. I do feel she could have a bit more to do.
Yeah. She's underutilised.
Yeah. But Raymond Kemp's got a lovely way with the contestants. They both do, actually, and they're a nice kind of double act. And yeah, and it's got the, what's the catchphrase? I can't remember what it is now. It's something like, answer it fast or you'll come last. It's not that, because that would be rubbish. And you've got to stay ahead of the red for the last round.
You're nothing for two in a bed. No, that's some other show, right?
Oh, here's the catchphrase.
Okay.
Answer them fast, don't come last.
Ah, yeah.
I mean, that's that neat.
That sums it up.
Exactly what the show is. So that, what it made me think of, even though it's nothing like it at all, was I just thought, in terms of physically moving around the studio, I thought run around.
Yeah.
Which I know we've campaigned before that run around should come back in some form. And I wondered whether, because it, you know, once you get over the initial excitement of all their chuntering down this track. Chuntering? Does that mean being sick?
No, that means chatting, doesn't it? Chuntering.
Well, yeah, they're sort of, anyway, they're proceeding down this track. But I thought maybe if the carts could go off in different directions, yes. Or do it more like dodgems.
Yeah, I was going to say swerve into your opponent.
Yeah.
Cut them off.
So that would be my suggestion for the next series. But I did think, sort of run around. If we're going to have motion in studio games, I think let's make it a bit more anarchic and freeform.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're going to pitch. It's like run around meets the finish line.
Health and safety nightmare. It's
yes, called. Exactly. So you're in some, maybe on segways.
Oh.
And you bash into each other, or those little skateboard things that kept catching fire.
Yeah. It's like a quiz meets Robot Wars thing.
Yes.
Attach weapons.
Yes.
To the front of your segway.
Gladiatorial. Oh, no, there is already gladiators, isn't there? Anyway, we'll work it out.
We'll figure this out.
We'll get the kinks of out of the format. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about was Alan Carr's Picture Slam.
I mean, I want to talk about little else at the moment because I am kind of fixated with it. Because I love it because it's really compelling, but also it doesn't really have a format other than Alan Carr going, "What's that?" And they show him a picture of... I mean, I enjoyed an episode I watched where the two ladies... were probably about 30, had no idea about Jarvis Cocker. They barely recognised Graham Norton, but showed them a picture of some tripe. They were straight in. Because that's what it could be anything. It could be brand names. It could be a weird piece of food, a flower. And you have to just shout out the name. But other than that, there is very little formatting to the show.
But then is that... its beauty is the simplicity of the sort of mad randomness of it. Because I really like it. And same as you, it's sort of, it's like, in a way, what is Alan Carr doing it during the rounds? But he's so amazing with contestants and he's so funny and I could watch him all night. So I kind of, but it is just funny that all his job is to go, "What's that? Who's that?"
Yeah.
Like a 4-year-old.
Who
that?
Is this?
Who's doing?
What's
that
this
doing?
TV show? What brand? Yeah, great, lovely. Yeah, I would like a little bit more delineation between the rounds. I know, you know, we probably do know enough about the contestants from it. There's enough of that chat, but the structure of the rounds, it's quite samey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's here's a board with 5 pictures. Can you name all the 5 pictures? We're just going to show you a lot of pictures in a row. If you get 4 in a row, that's a picture slam. What does that mean, Alan?
I know.
Alan, tell us, what does it all mean?
It is very,
it
that's
gives me
number
a little existential
it?
Crisis.
That's picture slam.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
No idea what that means.
The concept is lovely because it's so accessible and it does have you shouting out, which is kind of what you want from that early Saturday evening quiz show. Do I prefer it to the hit list? Probably not. Because I like that. I like, it's the same thing with the hit list. You get a lot of content, you get a lot of shouting out, but it seems to just be that touch more challenging and you don't get as annoyed with the contestants for not knowing things.
It can be quite agonising, can't it? Because if they just really don't know something, it's...
And sometimes they'll throw something really difficult at you.
Yeah.
How would they... How are you supposed to recognise that picture of Graham Chapman dressed up as a character when I didn't even recognise him?
And also,
and they're 20.
I mean, I suppose there's the sort of in with a shout, the Joel Dommett, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? That, again, there's something clearly in the water that sort of picture rounds. We love a visual thing and we love to shout and join in. But again, in with a shout is the, I mean, I really enjoy it. But again, it's like, well, it is just kind of the same. Yeah. There's a limit to what you can do. This is what we have said in our Fingers on Buzzers book. I don't know if I've mentioned that. but the difficulty with picture rounds is it is quite hard to do anything other than what is this.
Yes. And the lack of texture there is, I think that's what will test everyone's patience with those games. Yeah, although it's fun for 40 minutes or whatever it is.
Well, let's see. We'll see how those shows, In With a Shout and Alan Carr's Picture, whatever it's called, Picture Slam, however they
picture
go.
Wang.
And then we will decide whether in our health and safety nightmare bumper cars show, whether we put a picture hand in or not. How about that?
Oh, I think so. I'm now envisaging you have to run over the picture that matches the description.
Yes.
There you go. Smash through it like a finish line.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. See?
Or do it like the hole in the wall one where you have to... there's something in this. Keep listening, guys, because we're going to work this format up by the end of the
series. Yeah, we're working up this format very slowly, but also throwing everything at it.
It's going to be more deadly for the contestants than the jump. It'll be career and like dancing on ice. You'll be watching every week, not just for the questions, but to see if anyone seriously injures themselves.
Possibly life-altering, this game.
Yes, in so many ways. It's been a pleasure as always chatting to you, Jen.
Oh, yes.
And a huge pleasure chatting to Matthew Marcus. Oh, gosh, but we still need to round up our...
We do.
Yeah, okay, right, go on. I'm going to have some
Number 11 is just a massive star and still is.
Cliff.
We all watched him this summer.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah, we all stayed in on a Sunday night and watched him.
We stayed in to watch Paul McCartney.
Well, he is there at number 13. Well, that's not who I'm talking about.
Oh, Elton John. Elton John. We all stayed in to watch, of course we
did. Yes, Paul McCartney and Wings are there. The next one, number 14, is very tricky. Uh-huh. It's a group consisting of a gentleman and two ladies. They're American. They are credited here by the band name, but when they had hits... Sometimes they were credited as the name of the gentleman and name of band.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tony, Orlando and Dawn.
Correct.
Do you know what? That Very is good. The best thing that's happened to me today is getting that.
They are number 14 on the list despite only 5 singles during that time.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Oh, I'm just delighted with that. Well, are there any more that we need to round up for our lovely listeners?
There's 2 in a row that you'd associate with Tarzan.
Rod Stewart.
Yes.
And the Basie Tirolers.
Correct.
Oh, that's a great clue, Jen. That is a great clue.
There is another family band that isn't the Jackson 5. Just two of them in it. The surname is the name of the band.
Baccarat. No, I can't think.
Come on. Oh, Amanda's nodding.
It's a clue.
Oh, she's doing a mime of some drumming.
Some drumming?
One of the most famous drummers / vocalists of all time.
Oh, the Carpenters.
Yes.
Thank you. That was great drumming, Amanda.
Number 20 is a British group. I believe they still perform and the only ever-present member is the lead singer who has some quite distinctive facial hair. And their biggest hit was their first hit in 1970 and it gets played every year. At a certain time of year.
Wizard.
Wizard are on the list.
Okay, not Wizard.
But it's a different time of year than Christmas.
Oh.
Very different.
Summertime.
Yeah.
Summer in the city is summer. No. In the summertime. Hey, Mungo Jerry. Of course, that and stuff.
There's an actor turned singer turned...
David Essex.
Yes. I didn't need to go any further.
What did
than
you
that.
Turn to? That's what we were asking ourselves. Turned actor again, really, I suppose.
We've got a band from Stockport. Rock band. I'd say rock, bit pop. Absolute bang. They're a brilliant, brilliant band.
Ooh. I don't know.
There's a bit in one of their songs, Big Boys Don't Cry. Big Boys Don't Cry.
Oh, I don't know.
No?
10cc?
10cc, there you go. Yeah. I'll just
list
them.
Just do the list, yeah.
The Stylistics.
Oh, yes.
The Drifters.
Yep.
Hot Chocolate.
Oh, how
about Andy Williams.
Okay, yeah.
Perry Como.
Yep.
Middle of the Road. Status Quo we should have got.
I thought Quo immediately.
And you also should have got Alvin Stardust.
We all should. Well, I hope you got all of those at home. And it's been a delight doing that. It's been a delight talking to Matthew. A delight having Jenny and Amanda in the room, as always. And a delight having you listening. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time for another episode of
Fingers Up Butters.
Very nasal.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.